The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on December 28, 2006, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we're reading from the beautiful Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Text Number 9.
Om Namo Bhagavat. Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Priyavrata tanapado
Svaseyam duhitamama
Anvitschati pating yuktam
Vayashila gnadivi.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My daughter is the sister of Priyavrata and Uttanapada. She is seeking a suitable husband in terms of age, character, and good qualities. Purport. The grown-up daughter of Svayambhuvamanu, Devahuti, had good character and was well qualified. Therefore, she was searching for a suitable husband just befitting her age, qualities, and character. The purpose of Manu's introducing his daughter as the sister of Priyavrata and Uttanapada, two great kings, was to convince the sage that the girl came from a great family. She was his daughter and at the same time the sister of Kshatriyas. She did not come from a lower class family. Manu therefore offered her to Kardama as just suitable for his purpose. It is clear that although the daughter was mature in age and qualities, she did not go out and find her husband independently. She expressed her desire for a suitable husband corresponding to her character, age, and quality, and the father himself, out of affection for his daughter, took charge of finding such a husband. Om Ajnanatimadandasya Gunanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, this Vedic culture is very much based on loving affection. It is not something cold or impersonal. We see here how affectionate Svayambhuvamanu is for his daughter Devahuti. He is taking all time and all care just to arrange for her that husband who is most suitable for her. Such wonderful loving dealings, looked at by the modern day society, would think how barbaric. The father is picking out the husband. He's not letting the daughter pick her husband. Actually, she had wanted. In this particular case, the daughter actually wanted. She had heard of the great sage. And he arranged it. But in the system of arranged marriage is the general case. In cases of very highly situated girls, as Devahuti, she actually had heard of the sage and she particularly wanted him. But she did not personally arrange. The father arranged. So, this system of arranged marriages, it was current, and even it is still current in India today, in some sections of the society. It's difficult to try to introduce that. But formally, that system was going on very, very nicely. Even I have seen one of my own disciples, he was working there, quite happily engaged, working in the U.S., and then his parents said, "Okay, son, we have your wife picked out, come back and get married." So he did that. He went back and whatever his parents had arranged, all right. And he came back and now they're happily married. Such arranged marriages are quite incomprehensible to modern day society. Because everything is based on the attraction of the senses. Nothing is based on duty. The difficulty with that is the senses are very fickle. Their nature, chanchala, they are flickering. What today appears to be very attractive, tomorrow appears to be very repulsive. So it is quite natural if I base my activities on what is attractive to my senses, that I cannot be steady. Happiness in the mode of passion is so enlivening in the beginning and so horribly poisonous in the end. So instead of acting in this way, we have to learn how to act at least on the platform of sattva-guna. There are two things. There are Shreya and Preya. Shreya means that which is ultimately beneficial. And Preya means that which is immediately enjoyable or beneficial. In modern day society, they want Preya. Whatever I can get, some quick thrill. Whatever I can get, right now, up front. But actually, in our important things in life, we follow the Shreya principle, just like for education. It is such an austerity, going to the university. It is not immediately enjoyable. But we understand that I cannot earn decently unless I am well educated, you see. So we take the austerity of going to school for so many years of training, so many austerities, just for that ultimate goal of being able to earn easier. So that same principle we apply for mundane education. We need to apply it in general for all the aspects of life. The problem is for education we will take that principle, yes. But in everything else, no, I want instant gratification. See, in married life, instant gratification. In tongue life, instant gratification. This principle of taking that which is ultimately beneficial, even if in the short run it is an austerity, that is the proper principle in every aspect of life. In the beginning, it may not appear that enjoyable to rise early in the morning for Mangal Arti. It may appear to be torture to get up early in the morning. But if we perform the austerity, that rising early, it gives us the benefit of Brahma Muhurta. Many of our members who are living outside the temples, living at home, they have not mastered this art of how to rise early. Sometimes we are asked, how can I improve the quality of my chanting? And I ask, well, what time do you get up in the morning? Oh, 7 o'clock. Is it? That's 7 o'clock right now. You see, if I rise at 7 o'clock and I take my vows at 7:30, I go for the office at 9 or something like that, then I'm getting, chanting some japa, how many rounds, taking my breakfast, a few rounds, and then off to the office, and maybe a break, a few rounds. So, if we can do the austerity, tapa, of rising early, and some getting to bed as early as possible in the evening, and getting up as early as possible in the morning, we'll even have time to sing the Gavastakam prayers and offer an arti at home, have a little Mangala arti at home, you see. And then in those early morning hours when it's so peaceful, Brahma Muhurta, the material society has not yet cranked up yet. They're still asleep. The modes of nature are very, very conducive for diving deeply into the sweet nectar of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we achieve that which is ultimately beneficial, the awakening of love of God within the heart. The difficulty is, we live in a society which is based on the principle of cheap thrills. Whatever I can get quick, cheap, and easy, that's what I want. Cheap thrills means ills. I've seen this principle when I was a student in high school. It was very difficult, actually, to sit in those classrooms. And I went to high school in Houston, Texas. It's one of the most air-conditioned cities in the world. The first city to have an air-conditioned baseball stadium was Houston, Texas. Completely air-conditioned, indoor baseball stadium. So it was hot and humid as hell, especially the end of the spring semester. It was really bad, like fifth period, sixth period. It was horrible just to sit in those classrooms. In those days, they didn't air condition the schools. Now they air condition the schools. But in those days, no air conditioning for the students. We had to be tough. But some of these students, they thought, why I should do this? I will drop out and I will work in the gas station. And then I can get a hot rod. So they would come. During fifth period, I remember fifth period physics class every day. There would be one student who dropped out. He'd be there on the road in front of the school, rum rum rum, going up and down, showing off to us. Yes, you were all suffering there in fifth period, but here I am in my hot rod, my souped-up hot rod, enjoying like anything. Ha 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 ha. You see. So. 10 years later, where is that boy who was driving the hot rod? He's still working at that damn gas station, is he? And all those students who did the yajna, you know, the austerity of sitting, you know, the torturous fifth period physics class with Professor so-and-so. Now they have their college degrees, they're sitting in air-conditioned offices earning fatty salaries, is it? So this is a mundane example. I'm not saying everybody should go to college. That's not my point. The point is that we have to be willing to do the austerity to get that which is a greater position. Shreya. Shreya uttamam, Bhagavatam says. The ultimate benefit. You see? That is described, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jagyesha shreya uttamam. What do we do? We take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. That is the statement. To achieve the ultimate benefit. So sometimes that appears to be rather undesirable. That was my feeling in the beginning. But yes, Krishna consciousness is very nice. You can chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But taking a guru, I mean, that means that I have to do what I'm told, and that's, you know, I want to be independent. So I don't want to take a guru. The devotees were telling me I should become Prabhupada's disciple, surrender. But I was thinking, well, George Harrison, you know, he writes songs and goes around singing about Krishna. I was also a songwriter, singer. So I will write songs about Krishna and just go wandering around and sing, you know, songs about Krishna and how nice it is to chant Hare Krishna. The devotees really wanted me to, you know, surrender and become a brahmachari. And I was living in the ashram basically as a guest, just to check out the scene. Thinking, yes, I'll be a devotee of Krishna. But then one day, the devotees pointed out one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. You are claiming you want to be a devotee of Krishna, and you don't want to surrender to Guru. But here it is stated by Krishna that you must take Guru. So, I was defeated. But I was still stubborn. I still wouldn't accept the principle in practice. Theoretically, I had no argument. But practically, I still wasn't going to do it. But I was doing service, you know, just living there, doing normal services. I was chanting, following the principles, living the brahmachari life as an experiment in higher consciousness, not as a committed devotee. You see? But then, one day we had just gotten that Radha Krishna temple album. It had just been released from Apple Records. In some radio station there in town, they had gotten it as part of the promotion from Apple Records, and they thought, we don't want to play this on our radio station. But they saw the devotees walking down the street and said, here, you might like this. And they just handed it to us. Wow. George Harrison, Hare Krishna. This is a big thing in those days. The Beatles are into Krishna consciousness. Wow. So we were really excited. We took the record back to the temple and we were playing it again and again and again. 33 and a third vinyl, you know, again and again and again. It was so wonderful. Just like floating in nectar hearing this Radha Krishna temple album. So my service was to vacuum the temple room rug every morning. So, we was hearing one morning that album, and the second cut on that album, you know that cut. Sangsaradava nalalita loko tranaya karyu naguna gunadman praptashakalyana gunanavasya Vande Guru Shri Chadanada Vindam. So as I was listening to them, I was just actually amazed to hear how much love Srila Prabhupada Kija, how much love the devotees were feeling. Music has that ability to convey emotion, that you can experience the emotion of the singer through that sound vibration, the power of sound vibration. You can emotionally resonate with it. That's the beauty of music, you see. So I started to resonate with the feelings of the devotees that they were singing that song for Prabhupada. And it was just an incredible feeling. Wow. I never felt anything like that. I always had this thing of, you know, staying away from the idea of complete commitment to Guru. But now I was getting a sneak preview of what it was what it's like to be committed to Srila Prabhupada. How sweet it was to give one's heart completely to Srila Prabhupada. And I just thought, wouldn't it be beautiful to give my life to Prabhupada? I started crying. And that was it. I tasted such sweet, inconceivably sweet nectar by that thought of giving my eternal existence to Srila Prabhupada that there was no turning back after that. All right, I want to get initiated. So sometimes we have the hesitation to actually, you know, we're so much addicted to that which is immediately gratifying for us. The idea of sacrificing the present enjoyment for some future enjoyment is hard for us. It's usually very difficult for us to do that, because of the nature of the culture that we've been brought up in. It's so much ingrained in us that we have to have it now. I want it right now. I can't wait. So how did I bridge the gap between Preya mentality and Shreya mentality? It was that faith I had in the devotees. By associating with the devotees, my faith and appreciation for the genuineness of the devotees gave me the strength, gave me the vision, gave me the ability to actually see that which is ultimately for my benefit. So this is the beauty of this Vedic culture. The Vedic culture creates, the Krishna conscious culture creates an atmosphere where we can actually have faith in that which is ultimately for our benefit. We can go beyond the demands of the senses. The senses actually are screaming at us at every minute. The genitals are saying, give me sex, give me sex, give me sex. The sangha is saying, give me food, give me food, give me food. The false ego says, give me gratification, give me gratification, give me gratification. See, we have these senses that are just screaming at us, demanding sense gratification. So we need to have faith in Shreya Uttamam. So we can tell the senses, nope, you're not going to get it. Forget it. You see? That is Goswami. Gadas means when the senses scream, I jump. Okay, whatever you want, you can have it. You see, that's material life. The senses say, give me, you say, okay. Whatever the senses want, just immediately give them. Just like a parent who spoils the kids. Whenever the kids scream up and down, I want this, the parents give it to them. You see, they become completely spoiled. So each one of us has our kids, our senses, and we spoil them rotten in material life, you see. So we have to be very good parents with our kids, our senses, and we have to give them what's good for them and not let them have what's bad for them. In this way, each one of us is raising our own family, our senses. So we have to simply engage all of these senses in such a way that it becomes very, very pleasing to Krishna. And that Shreya Uttamam is there because Krishna is Govinda. He is the giver of pleasure to the senses. The senses actually don't miss out. They actually get better enjoyment. They become pacified and satisfied. Is there anything more wonderful and more beautiful than to experience Krishna through these senses? We do not deny the senses like the Mayavadis. We do not deny the senses. We simply give them better engagement. That's all. Premanjana charito bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yamshama shundaram achyam yagunasvarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham vajami. We don't deny the senses. We don't deny the vision, the eyes. No. We purify the eyes with the ointment of love of God. Prem Anjana. That word Anjana, ointment, actually comes into English language as unctuous, which means very smooth. You see? So that ointment is a very smooth thing. Slick, smooth thing, you see. Anjana. Prem Anjana, that ointment of love of God. If we can apply that to our seeing, to our vision, then that day will come and we will see Krishna. That day will come. So, normally the eye ointment, we put it directly on the eye. But this system, it is different type of ointment. It is applied through the ears. By hearing from Guru, by hearing from Vaishnava, by hearing from Shastra, by hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more we go on hearing, 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 that Premanjana works its magic on our seeing power. And we gradually become able to see Krishna everywhere, within everything. We can gradually connect with Krishna within everything. This was the first instructions that I heard from Prabhupada in his physical presence. That actually to become Krishna conscious is not difficult. Because Krishna is the light of the sun, he's the light of the moon, he's the taste of the water. Prabhupada explained, if you simply remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, every time you drink some water, then immediately become Krishna conscious. So that same principle we can apply for the other parts of that shloka, rasoham apsukantiya. When you see some light, then you can remember Krishna. He's on the light of the sun and moon. So even the electric light, it is the energy of the sun being transformed. Even the artificial light, that is also the transformation of the sun's energy. So that is also Krishna. So it is Krishna who is empowering everything that we experience. I am the sound in ether, shabda ke. You see? Anytime we hear a sound, oh, Krishna. So in this way, by remembering the wonderful instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this premanjana, it will act. And we can become more and more and more connected with Krishna. And more we feel that loving emotion, that loving tendency towards Krishna, the more we become satisfied. Prabhupada very much encouraged emotion, spiritual emotion. He told us, I am traveling all over the world, and everywhere I am seeing that they are building these skyscraper buildings in imitation of your country. He said, if you will simply chant and dance in the ecstasy of emotional love of God, then the whole world will follow you, and there will be no more problems. So we should dive into this wonderful sankirtan and just let our hearts open up give up the impersonalism, give up the lust, give up the greed, give up the anger, give up the fault-finding, give up the politics, and just let the loving feelings come for the devotees, for the holy names, for the beautiful Lord who is so wonderfully manifested here in Sydney. Just try to open our heart to Krishna. Following the standard system given by the acharyas, not artificially like sahajya, but according to the standard guidelines coming from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Some nice instructions, just like we have Upadeshamrita, the loving exchanges between Vaishnavas. This is so wonderful thing. If we can give gifts to the Vaishnavas, if we very gratefully accept the gifts of the Vaishnavas, if we can give prasad to the Vaishnavas, accept the prasadam from the hands of the Vaishnavas with appreciation, if we can reveal our heart to the Vaishnavas, just like if we are asked to give class, you see, this is our opportunity. Now it is my turn to reveal my heart to the devotees. And then but if someone else is giving, this is my opportunity to hear someone else reveal his heart to me. So this hearing others reveal their heart and revealing our heart, this we have opportunity every morning in our Bhagavatam class. Such a nice loving exchange. So, this is wonderful, wonderful formula of Rupa Goswami. To have these wonderful loving exchanges with devotees. This is actually what makes Krishna consciousness attractive. This is what brings us into Krishna consciousness. We have some wonderful loving exchange with devotees. And that gives us faith. That yes, this is something very wonderful, this Krishna consciousness movement. We had some wonderful experience with a devotee. So now we want to go deeper into this wonderful ocean of loving exchange, Krishna consciousness movement. So, even though sometimes it is difficult because of our impurities, we must tolerate those difficulties. Actually, it is simply in the mind. Srila Prabhupada told us, even if you find it difficult to remain in the society of devotees, still you must remain. He said, actually, there is no difficulties. There is no trouble. But even if you are, but if you are thinking trouble, still you must remain. You see, that is our mental concoction. Actually, Prabhupada said, there's no difficulties. There's actually no trouble. We imagine it as our own mind concocting this idea. Prabhupada told in another lecture, he said, it's susukam. It is simply recreation, actually. There is nothing troublesome at all about Krishna consciousness movement. Simply recreation. But even if we are thinking there is some difficulty, then we should tolerate that difficulty. We should do that austerity of tolerating the difficulty, getting beyond the Preya platform, coming to the Shreya platform. And we will derive the greatest benefit, the greatest joy, the greatest happiness, eternality, knowledge, bliss. These things will be fully bestowed upon us by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We will experience happiness beyond our wildest imagination, that such happiness could ever be experienced. It will be such happiness, inconceivably wonderful happiness, we will taste as we stay on this pathway, faithfully serving our predecessor acharyas. Brahma Saukyam Vanantam. That spiritual happiness which goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. That is our rightful claim. And if we stick to this pathway with complete total devotion, so we have the brightest future. There is no one in this material world who has a bright future except for those who take to this pathway of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness. This is the only bright pathway. Every other pathway is darkness. So the Vedas enjoin, tamasi ma jyotir gamma. Come off of that, come out of those network of pathways leading into deeper darkness and delusion. And come to this pathway of Krishna consciousness, the golden road of unlimited devotion. Take this pathway instead. See, that is the injunction. Tamasima Jyotir Gama. So, if we will take hint from the great enlightened words of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe, if we will take His wonderful, wonderful words to heart, we will experience the most glorious existence that could ever be experienced. So we have a couple of minutes left. Does anyone have any questions? Everything is clearly understood. Yes.
What's the value of gross kalai in Krishna consciousness? Whether following gross kalai seriously, does it add value to our Krishna consciousness?
I couldn't quite hear. So you're asking about grihastha life and Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, what is the value of
the value?
Grihastha life seriously.
What is the value of
following grihastha life seriously? Does it add value to our Krishna consciousness? Is bhakti separate from the, the following the different orders?
So, if one takes up grihastha life, which is in one sense prayer instead of shreya, is that what you're saying? It's kind of like giving in to the senses a little bit instead of... I don't understand. What is the value of following grihastha life?
Yeah, what is the relationship between Krishna consciousness and, following the different orders of life, like grihastha?
Yes, what is the relationship between pure bhakti and varnashram? Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. If one can immediately become Paramahamsa, there is no need for varnashram. But if we are not able to immediately become a pure devotee of Krishna, then we require a practical system that takes into account our position within the modes of nature so that we can gradually come out. You see? So generally we've been entangled in these modes of nature for millions and millions of lifetimes, tightly in the grip of the modes. So to come out, it takes some time. Therefore, the Vedic system has the Varnashram system that you can act in terms of your position within the modes of nature in such a way that the influence of the modes are gradually dissipated. Actually, it's very important that one follow the instructions, the Vedic system, as given by Guru. The spiritual master will judge the individual disciple. We were just reading the other day in our class here. how the spiritual master, he will see the mentality of the disciple, and he will engage him in such a way that he can become properly situated. So the spiritual master, he may, seeing the mentality, he may advise that you are suitable for Grihastha Ashram. That is how you can make the most steady progress. You see. For another, he may advise that you should remain a brahmachari. That is better for you. It's according to the individual situation. As long as we accept the principle of higher spiritual authority, I have my temple president, I have my spiritual master, I have my authorities. If we accept the principle of higher authority and act under the guidance of our higher authorities, you see, then we will be properly situated as surrendered devotees. And they may advise, for you, grihastha life, for you, brahmachari life. And we follow that advice. So that's the principle. If we accept higher authority, my guru is there, my temple authority is there, who represents guru for me, you see. These are, if we follow this principle of higher authority, then we are protected. Then we are actually a surrendered devotee. I often advise my grihastha students and disciples, well, if you just fully surrender to the order of the spiritual master, that's the principle, then you're surrendered. So the spiritual master says you should keep your job. So when you go to work, actually now that's guru seva, because guru told me I should keep my job. You know, you should stay with your wife, stay with your family, work a job, run a business. Now you're doing it as guru seva, because guru ordered. And if guru says, now you become sannyasi, you go to Vrindavan, then you do that. If your one is detached and follows whatever the spiritual master says, then you're fully surrendered. Whether you're grihastha, whether you're brahmachari, whether you're vanaprastha, sannyas, if you're completely surrendered to the order of higher authority, then you are surrendered, fully surrendered devotee, even if you are just beginning grihastha life. The guru said, now you become grihastha, you have some children, you may build a career. That is, if you're acting on guru's order, then that is spiritual. Prabhupada actually said, he said the grihasthas, he was talking about grihasthas in our movement who are fully surrendered to, you know, serving him. He's their paramahamsa. It's not that it's some inferior thing if you're grihastha. If you're fully surrendered to guru, it doesn't matter what ashram you're in. Prabhupada said, the householders, they are actually paramahamsa. So whatever your position, just be fully submitted to your authority, and then you are transcendentally situated, whether it's grihastha life, brahmachari life, vanaprastha, sannyasa, it doesn't matter. You're properly situated as a fully surrendered devotee. That is pure bhakti. You're fully submitted to your authorities. That is pure devotion. So I see our time has run out. So we thank you all very much. Santaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.